Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our great ESPN stations across the country, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Happy half birthday, guys. It's our half birthday today. 6 months.
Woo!
It's not really a thing, though.
I got shot down over that?
Yeah, I got shot. Yeah, I had to.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Not a thing.
All right.
It's not a thing. Although it's been great.
So you wouldn't celebrate like a 6 month anniversary with your wife?
No.
Really?
No. There are no gifts for the 6 month anniversary. There just aren't. Now, there are a lot of anniversaries in my relationship. Like, we just celebrated the anniversary of our engagement. That was pretty cool. You know, been, you know, it was 3 years on March 3rd. You know, we got a second wedding anniversary coming up in August. Like, okay. those are the things we celebrate. You don't celebrate halves of anything.
All right, hold on. Help me out here, because I'm single. But, like, but once you get married, why are you celebrating your engagement?
That doesn't make any sense. It wasn't really
a celebration. It was, hey, baby, remember, it's 3 years to the day when I asked you to be my wife. It was more along the lines of that.
Oh, okay.
I didn't buy her anything. We didn't go out to eat. Although I ordered some food off of Uber Eats, but that's about it. Like, it wasn't really a celebration, so to speak, but it was more of an acknowledgement.
Okay.
And I guess that's my whole point.
So
those are the things you acknowledge, the anniversaries of things.
So this is an acknowledgement of 6 months.
I'm just acknowledging that 6 months ago today we started this show.
But it's not an anniversary. It's not a year.
I never said it was. I said happy half birthday. This show was born 6 months ago. Hi, Smalls.
Hi. Listen, I'm
so confused now.
I'm kind of down with celebrating the half birthday because it's the only milestone that we have achieved up until this point. Once we hit our year anniversary, then we don't have to celebrate 6 months moving forward.
I agree.
Our half birthday.
So do we celebrate 7 months?
No.
I'm just. Where's the line?
I think just 6 months, and then we will not revisit this until our year anniversary or our birthday.
But 7 months is a greater achievement than 6 months, isn't it?
Why?
I'm just saying, it's more time. Yeah.
I love the party. I'm down to celebrate every month if you want.
We'll celebrate milestones, right? The first time we go on the road as a full show, like things of that nature. We'll celebrate those.
I feel like you're taking another dig, Nuno. I don't appreciate it.
I would never do that to you,
Canty. Don't appreciate it. I was celebrating my wife's birthday, okay? We left the country to celebrate her birthday. A real birthday. Again, another anniversary. It's a birthday.
It's a birthday, not an anniversary.
What's the anniversary
of your birth?
Of your birth? Yeah, I guess so. All right, fine. I guess we could say it that way. So CC thinks I was wrong to bring up 6 months today.
Yeah, I just think it's a little awkward. That's all.
You're overruled by literally everyone. Every single person thought it was.
Everybody on the show unit might feel.
Yes, that's what
I'm
saying.
Like I'm wrong, but I don't think the people actually think that I'm wrong.
I think people.
No, I don't think the audience thinks that I'm wrong. Like people that are watching on ESPN2, ESPNU, people that are listening to us on the ESPN National Radio Network, they don't think I'm wrong. Celebrating half birthdays makes no sense.
I'm not celebrating it. I'm mentioning it. Difference. There's no cake. There's no cupcakes. There's no half a cake, half cupcakes.
Acknowledging a half birthday seems ridiculous.
I'm acknowledging.
We're not a newborn.
I'm acknowledging.
But
we actually are. That's the point.
We're not.
We need to take our sixth picture with the block that has a six on it as a newborn. That's what we need
to do. We'll start referring to our show as like, we're 21 months old.
Yeah,
exactly.
Bronzed?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, I think that actually it is the proper acknowledgement. I think it is the proper acknowledgement that everyone that's been with us for the last 6 months, and we appreciate it, that they that show's been there only 6 months.
Yeah, so we lasted slightly longer than Russell Wilson did in Denver Broncos.
We actually didn't. We're not there yet.
Slightly. Well, not quite. Not quite. Almost.
We're almost there.
Almost.
Russell Wilson, yes, officially released or announced that he's going to be released when the league year begins after 2 years in Denver and an $85 million dead cap hit, which it's important to note. It doesn't necessarily mean it's all for next year. There's ways of working around it, but it's an enormous amount. And Denver's going to pay him $39 million to not play football this year. And that is the most amount of money that he can actually make this year because any contract he gets from anyone else is not added onto it. It's offset from that number. So if he gets a $10 million deal from someone, it's $29 from the Broncos, which is what obviously they're hoping for. That ain't going to happen. But the Russell Wilson era in Denver Smalls, not exactly similar to the era he had in Seattle.
No, I would say that that's quite the understatement. Those are completely different because one resulted in a Super Bowl victory. But this tells you a lot about how the Denver Broncos feel about Russell Wilson, that they're willing to pay him this much money to not play for them. I think that says a lot about the relationship that they had with one another. And this has been, by all measures, basically a disaster, the Russell Wilson era in Denver. And I don't know what the market is going to be like for him moving forward, but if I'm another team and I'm realizing that the Broncos would rather pay tens of millions of dollars to this person than have them in the facility or have them be a part of their organization in any way, that's something I'm taking note of.
Yeah, here's what I'll say. I mean, there'll be teams that are interested just because of the price tag. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not advantageous for Russell Wilson at his next stop to take any more than the veteran minimum because of the contract offset. So why not put your new team in a position where they can build a really good roster around you? It gives them a competitive advantage over everybody else because they have a quarterback that has the ability to far exceed his contract. And that's something that you talk about all the time, Ev, but make no mistake about it, in doing the post-mortem on this trade, it is one of the worst trades in NFL history. Like, it's not Herschel Walker level.
No.
But it's not far off.
Agreed.
This is one of the worst ones that we've seen. I mean, think about it. You're talking about giving up two first-round bad draft picks, not one but two, and those guys ended up being Charles Cross and Devin Witherspoon for the Seattle Seahawks. Mm. Like, two guys that have all-pro player potential. Not to mention all of the other picks that you gave up, a second-round pick that ended up being Boye Mafe, who's a heck of a pass rusher. And then you gave up Derek Hall, who's another edge rusher, Noah Fant, and then a couple of other pieces, including backup quarterback Drew Lock. So the Seattle Seahawks made out like bandits with this trade. And if they are going to be competitive for the foreseeable in the NFC West, that Russell Wilson trade will be the backbone of what the Seahawks become for the next decade. Mm-hmm. And so that's the part where it's got to be so disappointing. And like Ev said, the dead money that Denver is willing to eat on this is absolutely huge. $85 million over the next 2 years.
Yes.
Including the cap hit this year of $35 million. It is absolutely insane what the Denver Broncos are willing to do, but that just shows you how bad things were in Denver.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Herschel Walker deal with Minnesota back in the day when the Cowboys traded him to Minnesota, because I don't think we can avoid playing the results on this one, right? I mean, the Dallas Cowboys literally put together a team that won three Super Bowls as a result of that trade because Emmitt Smith ultimately was drafted, Russell Maryland, Darren Woodson. Like, the deal was insane for Minnesota there. I'm sorry, for Dallas from Minnesota. I think you have to play the results on this one. I have to own this part of it. I did think this was a great deal for Denver when they made it. I thought... Because Russell Wilson, I thought, was going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, and I thought he still had years left. I still think he does have years left, just not as the same player he was in Seattle,
sure,
obviously.
Yeah.
And so I can't sit here today and say, oh my God, what a terrible trade by Denver, because I would have made the same trade. I would have done it. And I said it then, and I'll say it now. Now, I wouldn't have probably hired Nathaniel Hackett, because I know Nathaniel Hackett was hired just for Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say, I mean, if they hired a different coach, Russ would have been so much better. I don't know that he would have been.
Well, they had a different coach.
Right. And Sean Payton.
And Russ was marginally better than he was the year prior.
And I know today is about Russell Wilson. At some point, there will be a day about Sean Payton. Like, you took that job knowing Russell Wilson was there. You took the job knowing the contract that you were going to have to get rid of and the dead cap hit as a result of that if you didn't like him. So at some point, the attention turns to Sean Payton. Probably not today, obviously.
I don't think it happens this year.
Right, yeah. So maybe next year. Maybe next year. But at some point, he's got to do something with this. I look at this now and I say it's one of the most interesting things we've seen in a long time from a value perspective. Denver is willing, as you just said, to eat an insane amount of money, actual money and cap hit. And yet Russell Wilson is such a value somewhere else now. And it's the same person we're talking about. He had no value to Denver and tons of value elsewhere.
Yeah, but I think that's what makes this a really interesting situation in terms of where Russ fits in the NFL. I don't feel comfortable putting Russ in a situation that is devoid of player leadership or coach leadership. Like, you have to have an organization that is buttoned up in terms of having an identity that is fully formed, because we just saw what happens when you parachute Russell Wilson and everything that comes along with him in a situation that has a leadership vacuum. It's nothing good. It was awful. It was disastrous in 1 year with Nathaniel Hackett. It was the worst season we had seen Russell Wilson in his entire career. Mm-hmm. And then last year, it was marginally better, marginally, but we all knew that Russell Wilson's style of play would not fit what Sean Payton wanted to do from a scheme standpoint. And stylistically, it wasn't the type of quarterback that he was looking for. So I didn't think that this was a good fit when I saw that Sean Payton was going to take this Denver Broncos job. But this was a reclamation project by the ownership group. They wanted to see whether or not Sean Payton could salvage anything out of an albatross of a contract. Clearly he couldn't. And now they're cutting bait and they're moving on. And so I think it's a very specific set of circumstances that Russell Wilson would provide a lot of value for somebody around the National Football League.
When you described that, one organization and one coach popped in my mind, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's no leadership void there. There's no culture or identity void there. Russell Wilson would have to come in and mold himself to what Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers are. And if they are interested in adding another quarterback to that room, especially at this cost, maybe that's a good marriage for the two of them. But going back to what you said, Evan, about at the time, did we think the deal was bad? I didn't, because Denver has been in quarterback purgatory for years. They could not get this position right. So even though I didn't think that Russell Wilson necessarily was the same quarterback when he was leaving Seattle as he was at one point in his career, he still was more of a proven commodity than anything that they had drafted or tried to develop there.
But what are we seeing now? Like, teams that are in that type of desperation mode make really bad decisions. Like, we've seen it with the Denver Broncos. We saw it with the Deshaun Watson deal. Like, we're still seeing that. Like, when you're in that position where you're in quarterback purgatory and you're willing to trade the farm in order to fix that position, it doesn't typically work out. I mean, so that's what a lot of teams that are quarterback desperate this offseason should take note of. Like, when you're looking for a quarterback to be the savior and you're trading for a veteran guy, buyer beware, especially when you're in a position where you have to give that guy a new contract after you trade for him.
It goes back to the same two things we've said on our show, our half birthday today. We said on our show, we said two things. A quarterback must outperform his contract for the team to be successful, and go get a quarterback when you want one, not when you need one.
Mm-hmm.
And the Broncos have needed one for too long. And as a result, there's desperation, bad contracts, overpaying, and bad team building. And we saw it again, unfortunately, with a guy that I'm a fan of in Russell Wilson. And I would have made that same move that they did, and I would have been wrong.
The Carson Wentz trade with the Colts. Another situation.
That's a good one.
Where a first-round draft pick involved and a new contract involved.
Colts did it three times. Think about it. Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, I mean, and Carson Wentz. And then they're like, you know what? Let's just stink and draft Anthony Richardson. And now maybe they have something here. But you can't do it that way. You're right. I mean, you just can't do it that way. On Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, for a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. All right, we'll continue the conversation on Russ. Plus, what does this mean for the rest of the QB market, and where will Kirk Cousins land? We'll find out next. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Kirk Cousins set to be a free agent after spending the last six seasons in Minnesota.
It certainly sounds like right now Kirk Cousins will have as his primary two options, Atlanta and Minnesota. Maybe Washington jumps in. If he goes to Atlanta, I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota tried to move up in the draft.
Every day we get closer to next week, guys. Like, the deal isn't done. He gets closer to being a Falcon.
Well, it certainly seems like we know where Kirk Cousins is going, right? That's what it feels like. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider, was on with us yesterday and gave us his take as to where the potential former Viking will end.
I think it'll be a Falcon, you know, and I think when you just kind of look at, like, the every day we get closer to next week, guys, like, the deal isn't done, and you start connecting the dots that Atlanta desperately needs a quarterback. Raheem Morris and Kirk Cousins were together in Washington. Everyone knows all the information by now. If he was going to re-sign with Minnesota, every day it doesn't get done, he gets closer to being a Falcon.
So it feels like this is happening. There are so many reports out there that Kirk Cousins, Atlanta is a thing now, which opens up, obviously, the QB position in Minnesota. Maybe that's a Russell Wilson destination on a low deal. He could be the starter. You trade up. You get a J.J. McCarthy or somebody, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. But it seems like Cousins, Falcons, now we would have to almost be surprised if it doesn't happen. It's kind of what it feels like right now.
Yeah, it's starting to get a lot of momentum going that way. I didn't realize that Kirk Cousins' wife is from Alpharetta, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta. So that would make some sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Kohl's is big down there, but I mean, it is his wife's hometown. So there would be some incentive. And they have a really good team around him. Again, they have a defense that is teetering on being a top 10 unit. They have a lot of skill position players on the offensive side of the ball. And they got a rock solid offensive line. Not to mention, you've got a head coach where it's not his first rodeo. This is Raheem Morris' second opportunity as a head coach in the National Football League. He's been a coordinator on a lot of good football teams, so he knows what winning football is. And he said as much at the scouting combine when he talked about why he had the Atlanta Falcons job. That job wouldn't have come open if they had better quarterback play. So it's clear that the organization has prioritized upgrading the quarterback position beyond Taylor Heineke or Desmond Ridder. So I actually like the fit. And I like what it makes the Atlanta Falcons. If they're able to land Kirk Cousins in free agency, then they should be the presumptive favorite in the NFC South, even if the Tampa Bay Bucs bring back the band with Baker Mayfield along with Mike Evans and Antoine Winfield Jr.
Yeah, it really feels like this is, as you said, gaining momentum and trending in that way. And it probably is going to happen soon. But in addition to everything you just mentioned, I want to really highlight the division. Like, if I'm Kirk Cousins and the Vikings aren't going to meet my number and the Falcons are, I'm looking at the NFC South and I'm saying, this feels like a place where I can go and I can have success immediately.
No doubt.
And the NFC South is a much weaker division than it's seemingly the NFC North. So it seems like the money will be there, the position players will be there, the coaching is there, the division is there, the connection with his wife's family and where she's from, as you mentioned, is there. It just seems like if I'm Kirk Cousins, even though I loved Minnesota, I loved living there, I loved the coaching staff, my position players there as well, it's not a bad place to go if you're him.
I wonder in this scenario, and they're probably not going to do it, but if I'm Atlanta and I have the 8th pick in the draft and I bring in Kirk Cousins, and I like a quarterback there, I'd still be tempted to draft a quarterback. They're not going to do it, but that's the ultimate drafting one when you want one, not when you need one. If J.J. McCarthy is sitting there and they think he's really good, the quarterback out of Michigan, like, financially, if you could ever figure it out where, like, hey, yeah, we're going to have Kirk Cousins for 2 or 3 years, and then we're also going to have a young quarterback waiting in the wings, like, then you're set up for years to come. And Raheem Morris, even though it's his second opportunity, is still a really young guy, where if you're going to project out, like, I think Raheem Morris has the job he's supposed to have in the NFL. The last few years, he did not. He's not a coordinator. He's not an assistant head coach. He's a head coach in the NFL, in my opinion. Okay. I still think Bill Belichick should be the coach of the Falcons. We know why he's not, whatever it is. But if you're going to have a young guy like Raheem Morris, he's a 5 to 10 year guy. You don't look at him as like a 2 or 3, hopefully it works kind of thing. You look at him as like, let's not do this again for a long time. And I would consider drafting a quarterback even after signing one if I'm Atlanta.
Yeah, I think that puts them in a good spot, and it also acknowledges where Kirk Cousins is in his career.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like, Cousins exactly. Is a 2 to 3 year proposition at best, but you are talking about 2 or 3 years where you're going to get top-end quarterback production. Over the last 4 years, Kirk Cousins is top 5 in passing yards, passing touchdowns. It is unbelievable what he's been able to do in terms of being able to accrue these types of numbers. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that he's got the same receivers that he did in Minnesota, because Justin Jefferson is one of one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Drake London is a pretty damn good receiver in his own right. Bijan Robinson is a damn good running back. Kyle Pitts is a pretty good tight end from a potential standpoint. So I think there's a lot to like in terms of what the Atlanta Falcons could be, especially knowing that they're going to be in the NFC South, which was the worst division in football last year.
With this move, do you put them as the favorites for that division? Like, yeah. Hands down?
I think you have to, right?
Over Tampa?
I think you have to. I just think that that team was unexpectedly bad last year. They have so many weapons around that entire organization. And yeah, I think that they should be considered the favorites in that division. We don't know what New Orleans is going to be. Obviously, Carolina is still years away. I do want to bring up the other side of it, though. Like, we talk about Russell Wilson and the value play that he now becomes as a, what, $1.2 million quarterback or whatever it is, where you could potentially get top 20 production out of him at a bottom price. But you guys both said, hey, you know, you need the infrastructure there for him to walk into. Minnesota's going to have an opening. Do they have the infrastructure for Russ to walk into?
Yeah, I think the Vikings... I trust Kevin O'Connell, their head coach.
Okay.
So I think the Vikings are in a good shape right there. They got a lot of strong personalities in that building, so I think they would be okay. But I think Pittsburgh would be a better fit. But just going back to the Atlanta Falcons bit from last year, mm-hmm. I mean, 6 of their 10 losses were one-score losses. They lost a game last year to the Carolina Panthers 7-9. It's a baseball score.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they've got to get better quarterback play, and I think Kirk Cousins gives them that. So, to me, like, even though this is not a move that I would look at as something that puts them in the realm of being a true title contender, this is a move that puts them in the realm of being a playoff team. This puts them in the situation where they can host a home playoff game, and then all of a sudden, who knows? You could find yourself in the divisional round, which means you're one of 8 teams that has a chance to win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what we saw from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a lesser quarterback in Baker Mayfield, who at that point was fighting for his career mortality as a starter in this league. So if you're able to get Kirk Cousins and Kirk is able to stay healthy for the entirety of the season, then all of a sudden you got something if you're the Falcons.
Yeah, I actually go to the place of assuming they'll be good. Like, assuming they'll be really good. If he's there and healthy, I assume they'll be really good.
So what's the floor? What's the ceiling then?
Well, I mean, could they win 11 games? Is that crazy? I don't think that's nuts.
I don't think that's crazy
either. And I am a huge believer in Kyle Pitts. He has given me nothing in the NFL to be a huge believer in, but I watched him enough in college to believe.
Oh, he was outstanding.
Yeah, somebody's going to get something out of him. And Kirk Cousins, we always say it on our show, and it rubs people the wrong way because they don't think of him this way. Statistically, he's a top 10 quarterback in the National Football League.
I just told you he was a top 5 quarterback.
I know.
Passing yards and passing touchdowns the last 4 years.
It's amazing.
Productive.
When he plays, he is better than the majority of his peers.
And think about it. He didn't play half the year this year. He didn't play half the year.
And he's
still top 5 when it comes to passing yards and passing touchdowns the last 4 years.
That's incredible.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your telephone number to join the show. We're going to get your phone calls in. Kirk Cousins to the Falcons rumors. Russell Wilson, where does he go now? Worst trades potentially in NFL history around this Russell Wilson trade. But coming up, we got CC's power rankings, the top 5 trades that Canty wants to see before the draft. We'll get to that next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. From number 5 to number 1.
The best of the best of the best, sir.
These are the Chris Canty Power Rankings.
Ah, yes, we got some power rankings. Of course, it's Tuesday. That's what we do on Unsportsmanlike. She is Michelle Smallman. He is Evan Cohen. I am Chris Canty. And these are my top 5 trades that I want to see before draft day. So let's kick this thing off, Jovante, shall we?
Number 5.
Edge rusher Brian Burns to the Commanders. Now, right now he's with the Carolina Panthers, but Washington has a ton of picks, 5 picks in the top 101, including 2 first-round picks. Josina Anderson of CBS Sports reported that the Panthers and Brian Burns are no longer talking about a long-term deal. The decision to put an end to those conversations reportedly came at the scouting combine last week. Burns would be in line for a salary of $24 million on the franchise tag, and the Panthers would have until July 15th to negotiate a long-term deal. I can see a world where Carolina looks to recoup some of the draft capital that they gave up for Bryce Young, offering up 2 twos and a defensive-minded coach in Dan Quinn to get an elite player that is scheme diverse on the defensive side of the ball. Makes a whole lot of sense for the Washington Commanders. I could see a world where both of those sides make that magic happen.
Oh, Dan Quinn would absolutely love this move. And with new ownership in place and likely a new quarterback coming there, I would love to see them get a little aggressive.
No doubt about it.
2 twos this year, like 36 and 40, or 1 this year, 1 next year kind of thing?
I would say 1 this year, next year, but 2 twos.
And if you're Carolina,
you already turned down 2 ones, which is probably hard to get out of your mind. But yesterday's price is not today's price.
Make a list of all the guys who haven't helped you win and then trade them off, because they're all of them basically at this point.
Essentially. Next.
Number 4.
Kansas City Chiefs quarterback L'Jarius Sneed to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles had the worst secondary in the league last year, and that's not hyperbole. They could use an infusion of younger veteran talent. Armed with 3 picks in the top 53 in this draft, they could make the trade and pay Sneed top of the market money. For Kansas City, it's rinse and repeat. More draft capital to continue to retool the roster in the second iteration of the Chiefs dynasty. I love this for both sides. They've given L'Jarius Sneed permission to shop for a trade, so we'll see what happens. But I think they consummate something on the eve of the new league year starting in a couple of weeks.
If you're Philly, you're salivating over this idea because you absolutely need help in that secondary.
No doubt. They were
rough last year, absolutely.
50 and 53, I assume one of those goes to Kansas City in that spot?
Absolutely.
Both of them? If you're Philly, you're a win-now team.
Yeah. Here's the thing why I wouldn't say both of them, because you still got to pay that guy, and that's not going to be cheap. I mean, it'd be different if it was an edge rusher or a quarterback or a tackle. When it comes to the cornerback situation, that's a lot to give up, especially when you consider the contract. Next.
Number 3.
Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Send JF1 to Pittsburgh, recoup a second-round pick plus. The Bears are poised to take a quarterback with the first overall pick. And if you're general manager Ryan Poles, you already said he wants to do right by Fields by trading him, and the timing of it being before the start of free agency. True to his word, Mike Tomlin will also allow Kenny Pickett, their former first-round pick, to compete for a starting job. Parachuting Justin Fields into that situation and allowing those two young quarterbacks to fight it out only brings out the best in the two players and puts the Pittsburgh Steelers in a better position with a more viable, dynamic option at the quarterback spot, especially considering the success that coordinator Arthur Smith has had with mobile quarterbacks.
So this power rankings of top 5 trades you want to see before the draft, if Justin Fields goes to Pittsburgh for, let's say, 51 overall, and we're assuming Kirk Cousins is going to Minnesota, now the Russell Wilson Minnesota stuff becomes really real.
Yeah.
As opposed to just real.
Absolutely.
I love this one, too, because Justin Fields was marred in turmoil during his time in Chicago, and he will not have that in Pittsburgh. He will have the most stable, arguably one of the most stable situations in the NFL. You know you're going to start at a certain point because Mike Tomlin always has a winning record, and he's going to have the infrastructure and support around him, I think, to really help him grow. I hope Justin Fields goes somewhere, if it's not Pittsburgh, like that, because I would love to see what he could become.
No doubt about it. It feels like the kid deserves that, right?
He does.
After all he's been through.
He's got a lot of talent. I would love to see it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next.
Number two.
Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins to the Chicago Bears.
Ooh.
Bleep them picks. Bleep them picks. Like, Ryan Poles has to be right with this decision at quarterback. Not only to move off of Justin Fields, but who he takes at the number one overall pick. So why not get him a wide receiver that can make it happen? A top-tier guy to play opposite of DJ Moore. I mean, we already know that T. Higgins is okay playing the Robin role when there's a Batman as your number one receiver. DJ Moore, T. Higgins, it just seems like it makes a whole lot of sense. You've got plenty of cap space, and you're going to have draft capital, additional draft capital from the Justin Fields trade. So this is one of those moves that just makes sense. And for Cincinnati, you want to keep as much talent as you can, but the reality is you can't pay two receivers top-of-the-market money when you're paying Joe Burrow $55 million a year. They're going to have to move off of somebody eventually, and the obvious answer is T. Higgins. So it makes sense for both sides.
So we kind of make that into a three-way deal for Chicago, right? If Chicago's trading Justin Fields for 51, let's say, with Pittsburgh, you then say to Cincinnati, here's 51 for T. Higgins, and we're going to take on the cost of paying him to the double whammy, right? You got to give up the compensation, and you got to pay the guy. In that spot, then Cincinnati is 49 and 51, in addition to the 19th pick in the first round. And your point is a good one. They'll find a wide receiver in that group between those three picks in the top 51.
No doubt. This is a deep wide receiver class.
And I love this for the Bears, too. For an organization that has messed up the quarterback position time and time again, if you're going to draft Caleb Williams, put pieces around him. Put him in the best possible position to succeed, especially early on.
Yeah, could you imagine throwing to that avatar T. Higgins, and when you're not throwing to him, you got DJ Moore, and when you're not throwing to either one of them, you got Cole Kmet? Pretty good situation to be in if you're Caleb Williams.
I agree.
Just saying. But there can only be one number one trade that I want to see before the draft.
Number one.
My former teammate, Antonio Pierce, the Las Vegas Raiders, trading the house to move up to the third overall pick for Jaden Daniels. Ooh. Let's go. Now, get it. This pick is probably not going to happen. This trade is not going to happen until New England is on the clock with the pick. But depending on which top QB is available, I could see a scenario where the Patriots trade down. And if Daniels is available, his former coach in high school and in college, Antonio Pierce, will go get him. The asking price should start at two first-round picks, but it'd be well worth it for the Raiders to land a talent that would allow them to compete against the stud quarterbacks in the AFC West. When you're going up against Justin Herbert, when you're going up against Patrick Mahomes, you need somebody that can grow and develop into a difference maker, and I see that from Jaden Daniels. Our very own Dan Orlovsky said it's the number one quarterback that he has in this draft. I'm not going to take it that far, but the talent from Jaden Daniels is absolutely undeniable. I love the Raiders getting aggressive. A new day, new regime, having your head coach, GM, and quarterback all on the same timeline. That's what functional franchises do. I would love that for the Raiders.
When you say two first-rounders, in addition to the swap this year?
No.
So one more?
Yeah.
Can't do it. I need more. Well, I'm going from 3 to 13.
I'm not saying there won't be more in the pick, but I don't know if there'll be more first-round picks in the deal.
I think the Raiders, if he's available, are going to do what you just, or attempt to do what you just said.
Yeah.
I think every indication we've been getting about the Raiders, specifically from our buddy Q Myers, game night here on ESPN Radio, who was covering the draft combine last week and is part of the Raiders broadcast, has indicated they are going to try to move up to potentially get specifically Jaden Daniels.
He would be a star there, absolutely. And like you said, CeCe, I love the idea of Antonio Pierce getting his quarterback at the same time and them being able to grow and hopefully have success on the same timeline together.
So the top five trades that CeCe would want to see before the draft, we've got Vegas and New England making a trade for number three, mm-hmm. T. Higgins from Cincy to Chicago, Justin Fields from Chicago to Pittsburgh, L'Jarius Sneed from Kansas City to Philadelphia, and Brian Burns from Carolina to Washington.
Now, Smalls, you are my accountability partner. Any objections, any omissions?
No, I love this list. I absolutely love the list. I think for me, though, the one I circle, Justin Fields to Pittsburgh. That's the one I really would love to see happen.
Yeah, I mean, just think about all that he's been through in his young career, right? Mm-hmm. He started off at Georgia, ended up having to transfer to Ohio State, made it happen there. Then with the Chicago Bears, the reception has been lukewarm by the organization and by some fans. So having it out, and you've been looking over your shoulder the last couple of years because your team has had the number one overall pick. So with them being as non-committal to you early on in your career as an NFL player, it just feels like the Pittsburgh Steelers are an organization that can wrap their arms around him and bring out the best in him.
Yeah, take a deep breath. We've got you. You're good now.
That's what good organizations do. They have the infrastructure in place to bring out the best in their people. Mm-hmm. If Justin Fields is going to be a good NFL quarterback, Mike Tomlin would be the head coach to bring it out of him, no doubt.
Yeah, I think we are properly defaulting to Mike Tomlin for multiple guys here, right? We're properly defaulting to Mike Tomlin for who can bring the most out of Justin Fields? Mike Tomlin. Where's their great infrastructure where Russell Wilson can just fit in and go into a situation? Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, right? I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at here. We've said about Kirk Cousins, it doesn't look like he's going to go there. Hey, who's the quarterback that could take the Steelers maybe to AFC title game contention with the roster and coaching staff? Kirk Cousins with Mike Tomlin. I'm glad that we are still, despite the fact that they have not made a Super Bowl in a number of years here, ranking Mike Tomlin as high as we do, because I think it's appropriate and it's warranted with what we've seen here. The other takeaway I had on this, I'm just looking through the Carolina Panthers roster here. If you're the Carolina Panthers and you're going to trade Brian Burns, which I know that you're probably going to do, anybody that has probably been in the league for more than 5 years that has any kind of money coming to them, you got to trade. You got to rebuild the entire thing. Stop acting like you're close, because clearly you are not. 888-SAY-ESPN is a telephone number to be a part of the show. We'll get your phone calls in coming up. Kirk Cousins, Atlanta Falcons rumors. I know a lot of people want to weigh in on that. Plus, maybe last night we saw why these top seeds in the Western Conference in the NBA want nothing to do with the top seeds in the Western Conference in the NBA. We'll get to that coming up. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Feels like we're at the when, not if point with Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons right now. That it's going to happen. We're on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, let's get a few calls in here. A lot of people want to jump in on Cousins and the Falcons. Bill in Brunswick, listening on 103.7. What's up, Bill?
Hey, man. Usually, how are y'all this morning?
Morning.
Usually when it's a done deal with the Falcons and it's a good thing, it means it's not going to happen. You look back and you see Bill Belichick, that was a done deal. That didn't happen. We thought Vic would be there for a lifetime of his career. Didn't happen. We thought they were going to win the Super Bowl third quarter. Didn't happen. Mm-hmm. If it's a done deal with the Falcons and it's good, it's not going to happen.
Wow. Wow. What a supportive fan of your team. I mean, listen, I don't know that Belichick was ever a done deal with the Falcons. Vic there forever. Yes, we did think that. But I mean, if Cousins reportedly is moving his family to Atlanta and they're offering him the highest bid at this point, it feels like we are heading in that direction, that's for sure. Jason in Florida, watching on ESPN2. What's up, Jason?
Hey, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I don't get it, not one bit. Kirk Cousins is going to be 36 years old. It's not like he's the greatest quarterback. He's very good at liking, but Atlanta's not a ready-made team. I don't know what the hell they're thinking. You want to win a division? You get in the playoffs? Yeah, sure, anybody's got a shot, but let's be freaking realistic. Atlanta's got no chance whatsoever of sniffing the Super Bowl anytime Kirk Cousins is the quarterback at all anytime soon. So why do this? Why not, with the young team that you have, go get a quarterback that's young, maybe in the draft, whatever it may be? But this doesn't make sense. You're just going to set your franchise back 2 or 3 years.
Well, what happens if they actually draft a quarterback too in the first three rounds? Like, that's the part where I think it actually could make a whole lot of sense, because in order to establish a culture, you got to have something tangible for your players to hold on to, and that's wins. So, I mean, Kirk Cousins allows you to do that year one with Raheem Morris, mm-hmm. which is the most important thing. Being able to make sure that your head coach can establish a culture that will allow you to have sustained success as a franchise. Now, we acknowledge that Kirk Cousins is getting toward the end of his career. He's on the back nine, right? He's going into his age 36 season. So you're going to have two, maybe 3 years of top-end production, and that's it. So it would make sense if the Atlanta Falcons take the not either-or but the and approach, signing Kirk Cousins, paying him a lot of money, but then also drafting a quarterback that can develop. That way you can have a seamless handoff. To me, that makes a whole lot of sense. And here's the other thing. When it comes to competing for championships, there's levels to this. You got to take steps. In order to develop into a championship contender, you first got to start with winning your division and making the playoffs consistently. Like you know, it's hard to just go from, hey, we're outside looking into the playoffs to winning a Super Bowl. Every quarterback ain't Tom Brady.
Right.
Like, you're not going to have a situation where he can microwave it like he did in Tampa in 2020. That doesn't happen. Like, even when Matt Stafford was traded, you're talking about a Rams team that was in the Super Bowl, what, 2 years before that?
Right.
So, I mean, you got to develop. You got to grow into that. So it makes sense to me to go after Kirk Cousins, but then to also have a plan to draft a quarterback sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you're also not getting close to a Super Bowl if you don't have solid quarterback play.
No doubt.
And if you just draft somebody and take the either approach, not the and approach that you suggested, we know that that's a coin flip. You don't know how long it's going to take that draft pick to develop into a quarterback, if they ever even will develop into a quarterback.
Yeah.
And even though Kirk Cousins is of a certain age and coming off of an injury, I still think you know what you're going to get from Kirk Cousins, the player, and Kirk Cousins, the leader.
Yeah, I think the move is to do both, right? I think the move is to sign him. And I'm looking at the draft right now. If we believe the Raiders want to move up, go down to 13. Right, if you're Atlanta and you're drafting from want out of the quarterback position. If you think that Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. will be there at 13, trade down. Let the Raiders give you something else. It's not going to be a ton. You're not going to get multiple first rounders. You may get a 2025 second rounder out of it, extra ammo, and then you still have an opportunity to draft a quarterback and pay him a little bit less, by the way, with the lesser draft slot, and still have Kirk Cousins. Atlanta all of a sudden becomes actually. Leave Mahomes and Burrow to the side. The smartest quarterback depth chart around the league.
Yeah.
Because you have a guy who's going to play for 2-3 years. You have first-round talent, whoever you're going to get. You pick up an extra asset or resource, whatever it is, out of trading down, and you don't have to play the guy right away. It's exactly how you want to do this, actually. So Atlanta could be in really good shape if they're smart about this. JT, who's in Atlanta, watching on ESPN2. What's up, JT?
Hey, good morning, fellas and Michelle. Hey. You made a good, intriguing point there, Evan. If they go after Kirk Cousins, but still draft another quarterback, wouldn't it be a good thing to just get Russell Wilson on a cheaper deal and still draft a quarterback and develop him behind Russ?
There's an argument there, but here's the difference. You don't want to voluntarily walk into a QB controversy.
No.
And I love Russell Wilson more than most. But if Russell Wilson's there on a one-year, $1.2 million deal, and you draft a first-rounder, you're walking into a QB controversy, and that backup, Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, whomever that may be, does not get the same leeway to sit if you're versus if you're paying Kirk Cousins on a three-year $120 million, let's say. Right. Like, Kirk Cousins is your guy. There's no conversation about the backup playing. If Russ is there and he has two bad games in a row, Penix is playing. J.J. McCarthy's playing.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's actually the strategy here.
No, I don't think it should be. And here's the thing. Atlanta has almost $40 million in cap space.
Right, so you can maneuver it.
You're fine. Like, you could pay Kirk Cousins and draft the quarterback. I don't think anybody is debating who's the better quarterback between the two right now, Kirk or Russ. It's Kirk. Like, that's what it is. So if you're Atlanta, go out and get Kirk Cousins. Yeah, it might cost a lot more money for somebody that might be, marginally better. But I think I would take the better option, especially if cash space is not a thing, which it clearly isn't in Atlanta. Somebody saying money ain't a thing in Atlanta. How about that?
Money ain't a thing.
TJ in Baltimore watching on ESPN2. What's up, TJ?
Yeah, morning. Great to see you all. I wanted to comment on Canty's
comment earlier about Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. I think Sean Payton didn't have any interest in making that work. I don't think it was a matter that he couldn't get it working with Russell. I think from day one, he had no interest in making that work. And so it was never going to be successful in Denver between those two. I hope wherever Russell goes, he'll be able to actually be successful and have a coach who's interested in supporting him instead of one who's just going to tolerate him.
Well, TJ, I'm curious to know from the fans' perspective, why do you think that Sean didn't want to make it work with Russ in Denver? Like, that's the part that I'm struggling with. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that Sean took away Russ's office that he had on the second floor, like the fact that he took away the parking spot that he had in the front of the building, a parking spot for, you know, other people that were, I guess, on his quote-unquote staff or his team. I think those are the things that you try to do in order to build the right type of culture. And to make sure that your quarterback is a leader of men and not somebody that's separating himself from the men. Mm-hmm. And I think Russell Wilson was the latter in what we saw in year one in Denver. And you heard grumblings about how that's how it was at the end in Seattle. So, I mean, we're saying that Sean Payton had no interest in making it work with Russ. I just think Russ became a little bit of a celebrity quarterback. And that's probably why Pete Carroll was willing to show him the door in Seattle. Mm-hmm. The juice was no longer worth the squeeze. And they found that out in Denver over the last two seasons.
Yeah, and it's not as if the situation was great, as you mentioned, that Sean Payton walked into with Russell Wilson. He had some cleaning up to do.
Yeah.
And even though Russell Wilson was a bit malleable, and we saw a different version of him in year two with Denver, it still never felt like a great fit.
No.
It still never felt like
because it wasn't a good fit, Smalls.
Exactly.
It wasn't a good fit. I mean, Sean Payton wants his quarterback to hit his back foot in his drop, get the ball out on time. When have we ever said that about Russell Wilson in terms of somebody that consistently plays within the structure of the offense? Nebuary. Like, we've never said that. So, like, stylistically, it was never going to work. And I said when they hired Sean Payton that this was going to be a bad match and Russell Wilson was probably going to be on the outs after year one. And that's exactly what happened. So I never anticipated that this would work. Now, did I see Russell Wilson being open to coaching? Sure. And I think that's what you hold on to if you're a team that's interested in getting competent quarterback play on the cheap this offseason. So I think Russell Wilson is a good option for a lot of teams. And I would say this, Russell Wilson on a $1 million deal is right on par with all of the other quarterback options that we're seeing out there. Trading for Justin Fields, Baker Mayfield, whatever that contract is, Kirk Cousins or whatever that contract is. Russell Wilson is right there with all of them.
I totally agree with you. I think that Sean Payton has proven to have wanted the contract more than the job, and now he has an opportunity to prove he wants the job, which we will see coming up. We're Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.